And welcome back to Unicorns and Hand Grenades, everyone. My name's Jax, and my co-host Kim and I are rapt that you've chosen to join us in this series of real and raw conversations that we'll be having with each other and our guests, where we explore the nature of being human and embracing life in all of its brutal magnificence. We hope you enjoy this ride as much as we enjoy bringing it to you. So let's get into the conversation. And here we are, back around the mic, this time, Kim and I. Howdy, Kim.
Hi, Jax.
You're looking very cool there with your shades on. People can't see, but Kim's sitting in this bright sunlit room with her sunglasses on, exuding cool.
Little did they know, if I took them off, my eyes would probably be watering and I wouldn't be able to see the computer screen.
Not because I've made her cry, just because the sunlight is literally that bright. So how lucky are we to be here on a day like this? And speaking of lucky, actually not lucky, grateful, we just wanted to kick off this episode with a really big thank you off the back of the episode that we released last week, which was Mary Haddock Stanley Lynn's episode about adversity, helping you find your truth. We've had so many incredible messages come from that episode and so many people sharing that story out that we just wanted to say thanks, because it's an episode that some people will really be needing to hear to help them in a space that they're in. And it led us to thinking a little bit about what we're going to talk about in this episode, which is authenticity. So authenticity of self, authenticity of connections. And before we kick into that conversation, one of the people that I was back and forth with a little bit about Mary's episode was Jax Hamilton. Shout out to Jax. Some of you might remember her from MasterChef. She's a writer for Cuisine magazine. She does emceeing. She's an amazing human. But she sent me this quote when we were talking about the power of sharing stories. And I'm just going to read it out really quickly because it really impacted me. And it feels like it's a little bit of a vision for what we want to do for those of you that are listening and what you can all do for those people in your life. And it's, each affects the other, and the other affects the next. And the world is full of stories, but the stories are all one. And man, that hit home, because I guess it's timely to ask ourselves in the current state of the world, if we're the each, what's the effect that we're having on the other? And then what is that other going to go on and do in effect with all of the people around them? So, yeah, thanks, Jax, for that. That was such a cool quote from Mitch Albom out of the book The Five People You Meet in Heaven. And Kim, authenticity. Whenever we touch on subjects like this, I reckon it's really important to start from a base of what it means to us and acknowledge that what it means to us might be very different than what it means to our listeners out there. And actually, even all of us understanding that individually when we talk about authenticity, because man, that word's bandied about a lot at the moment, that it means something different from me to you, to the people listening, to their friends. So hit us with what it means to you. Pretty please.
Of course. So authenticity to me means that I'm living my life in accordance with my own values, my own personality, and my own spirit. So we talk about being true to yourself, and you know that can also be a thing that's a bit overdone, but it's living life in accordance with me. But in order to understand what that is, you've got to know yourself, right? So it's getting really clear on what are my values, what is my personality, do I really understand what makes me tick, and what is my spirit, what makes me, what is my essence? So that really is it for me in a nutshell. What about you?
For me, it's something that I think about it on the daily. I don't think about it in terms of going deeper on what authenticity is. It's just, I think about on the daily when I start the day, what's my intention with how I want to move through the world today? And then Brené Brown, man, I love her quote on it. It pretty much sums it up. How can I just bring all of me with that intention to every interaction that I have or to whatever work that I do, which doesn't mean I'm perfect, because what it actually means is waking up and being at peace with who I am every single day, all of my edges, letting go of who I think I should be, that false facade.
Yeah.
And just turning up with that realness. And Brené Brown, I reckon she captures this perfectly. It's the daily practice of letting go of who we think we're meant to be and embracing who we are. So it comes from that place of wholeness. I don't think that you can be fully authentic unless you've done the work yourself. And then we're never really always feeling fully whole in every moment, but it's just knowing who we really are, regardless of how we're feeling in a moment. So all of those things that you talked about that make up you, how do you take them forward into the day?
Yeah, well, I just want to go back for 1 second as I was listening to you, you know, talking about being at peace with all of your edges and living, I guess, according to what feels right for you and being intentional about how you're going to move through your day. I've talked about this on another episode, but I think it's worth mentioning again. I did some reading recently, and it was by a woman called Bronnie Ware, who's a palliative care nurse, and she talked to a lot of people who were at the end of their lives and about their regrets. So she published this article about the 5 regrets of the dying. And the number one thing was, I wish I'd lived a life that was true to my own self rather than living my life under the weight of others' expectations. And so if we're thinking about why this matter is even important for us, it's because it's basically what life is all about in terms of fullness, wholeness, satisfaction, and meaningfulness, really, isn't it? Because if we move through our journey on this planet, skimming the surface or just doing things to make other people happy, what kind of existence is it? Because it still can potentially be a wonderful one, but it's not a truly connected one. And so that for me is basically the driver around, I guess, my quest for reconnecting to my own authenticity over the last year and a bit. So that was a bit of a tangent, Jax, but I think that it's definitely worth raising as to why we even bothered talking about authenticity.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to explain this correctly because I'm just, like I always do, thinking on the fly. But when you were talking about that, I felt like there's almost two types of authenticity. So if I think of myself when I was moving through the world trying to please others, where seeking validation from others and potentially people-pleasing was something that was, it was a practiced way of living for me based on a whole variety of factors. But I still think when I was doing that, I was authentic,
yeah,
but not truly authentic because I wasn't connected in myself. And so I was still kind. I would still speak my truth if it was something that really bumped up against my integrity, because that was a really strong value. But I don't think I was, so that part of me was authentic. There were parts of me that I was really connected into, yet there was also this almost a shell of authenticity. Does that make sense? I don't know if I'm explaining it right because I'm just really thinking through it while we speak. Yeah, I think of me now moving through the world, and if I was just to think of another word that described authenticity to me now versus then, it would be realness.
Yeah,
just like that purity of realness after having stripped everything away.
Yeah, that's right. And authenticity is a tag word. Realness is just, it just captures all of it, because it's not always polished. It's not always perfect. It's not always beautiful. It's not always clever. It's just realness. And I think that, you know, if I think about my own self and my journey toward my authentic self, part of it has been because, yes, I've been a people pleaser and seeking that validation. Part of it is because I had this box that I put myself into and thought, because of my profession and what I was doing, that it wasn't appropriate for me to show up with my whole real self and my job as an HR consultant, where I had to toe, you know, I had to sometimes have some really difficult conversations, try not to show a whole lot of emotion, bring some, so glimpses of me came through, but there was a very separate work Kim, personal Kim. And sometimes I would say to my husband, man, if you saw me at work, you'd have a shock at me operating in that space, because I was just quite different to the relaxed, laid back, kind of slightly hippie ish person that I am in the working world. But I thought that those characteristics and the things that I hid was necessary for my success and my survival. But what I've realized now as I've evolved, and also I'm doing some HR work now, is I show up as more me and bringing my full self into that, because there are no separate Kims. It's all one. But yeah, it took me a long time to figure that out. I don't know what your thoughts are on that, Jax, or what's popping up for you.
I think it's exactly what I talked about before, but it just seems to be a little bit clearer to me now. It's we're always being authentic to the best of our understanding of what that definition is to us and to us in that moment. That's what I was trying to explain before. So it's not that we were inauthentic before we started to learn all of the stuff about ourselves and grow. We were authentic as best as we could be based on our understanding of it, which in that moment, listening to you, was I can be me, and then there's a veneer over it when I have to be me in this other arena of life. And so because of just what we've had to do and what we've been through and the work we've done, now actually the definition's different to us, so it means something different to us, which is kind of really powerful, right? Because it means something different to everyone else. And whenever I bump up against people that I think aren't authentic, it's a real trigger for me.
I feel like my bullshit filters is really onto it now. Like I can sense, I've always been quite socially intelligent, and I can sort of, I get a feel for people pretty quickly, and I can see a bit more about motives and underlying things. But man, can I sense when there's inauthenticity or they're being disingenuous in any way. And I don't have any time for that, because the one thing that I've learned, I guess, about realness and authenticity is that it's actually beautiful. And the things that we perhaps as a society don't value as much. So some of those classic success terms like confidence, not necessarily aggression, but being, you know, going for what you want, not showing emotion, all of those things tend to be quite valued, especially in the working world. I'm a lot of the things that are contrary to that. I am quite emotional, but I've since discovered that's actually a superpower of mine because it enables me to connect with other people. I'm quite creative. I'm spiritual, not in the traditional sense, but I spend a lot of time thinking, I guess, about the broader notion of what it means to be human. And none of those things really played a factor in what I was doing before with my work. But now I understand that everybody's a full human and everybody comes to their job with a whole set of values, personality, spirit, experiences, and they're all valuable. And so for me, it now brings a whole different lens to how I approach my work and my personal life, because I want to know you as well. And that for me has been quite an interesting evolution.
Yeah, there's some real beauty in that, isn't there? And my bullshit meter's the same. It's more intuitive, but it can, depending on what I want to see.
Yeah.
It can be off sometimes, but then it can only be off for a certain amount of time, because if someone is disingenuous, or, you know, I bump up against the fact that some of this, the stuff that they're doing is not connected or it's at odds with what they're saying, and I see it and I reflect back, my intuition was probably telling me it from the beginning. I was just wanting to see something different in that person because I, yeah, for whatever reason, ultimately bought into what I was seeing in front of me. But I guess that's also just learning to navigate my world a little differently now, because I have had so much change. So learning all the time.
Yes.
And it's kind of easy. There's some things for me that help me pick it up, apart from listening to my intuition, a lot quicker, in that I think part of authenticity for me, and this might not be the same for other people, is that there is a real integrity involved in it. So if you look up the definition of authenticity in the dictionary, it's the quality of being genuine or real, which feels so much better than authenticity as a tag word. And then if you look at some of the synonyms or the other words that you can use to describe it, it's truthfulness, purity, reliability, And for me, that purity and reliability in someone, that comes down to integrity. So they're not someone that's going to blow hot and cold, that's going to be one way with you when the connection's engaging them, and then just another way when the connection's not engaging them. So that's a real watch out for me, which sometimes I don't see because I lean into connections.
Yeah, and because we've had conversations about this before too, offline. It's about, we don't approach the world second-guessing people's motives. We approach the world in an open, accepting, loving way, I suppose, expecting the best out of everyone. And so sometimes it takes us a while to cut through the crap and see that because we're not expecting it. And that's actually a wonderful thing. It just means that sometimes we learn a few lessons that are a bit uncomfortable along the way, but we're not approaching it questioning everybody's motives, which would be a far worse place to come from. I don't want to be that person. I want to approach the world with a, you want to connect with me? You want to be part of my life? Let's go for it. Until you prove otherwise, as opposed to why, you know, prove to me I can trust you first. Yeah. Like, I kind of come at it the other way. And that's about being openness and wanting connection. And for me, that is, as I've said many, many times, there's nothing more important in this world than connecting. And that's what I'm all about now.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. And I really like that way of looking at it. Don't go into connections expecting the worst, but just be aware that when you see or start to sense that maybe the connection's not what you thought it was, that it's never anything personal as well. I think that's really important for people to learn because we're all learning all the time, right? And so sometimes we can just overestimate the significance of the connection to the other person. And it's not necessarily that they're inauthentic. It's just that maybe the connection wasn't as authentic as you thought because you looked at it one way, they looked at another, and that's nothing, nothing personal, and people value connections differently. And so, yeah, that's another really good way to look at, I think, how we approach authenticity and realness and connections with others as we're starting to build them. But that's very different than, I guess, connections that you've had with people for a while where you know, because reciprocity is important to me as well. Sorry, going off on a tangent. And I don't mean if you do something for me, I'll do something for you or vice versa. It's a spirit of reciprocity. So there's reciprocity within the relationship or the connection in that you're coming from that same place. And I don't like to use the word level. It's just from that same understanding of everything. And so if I'm giving out an energy to someone, I don't need it back, but I need them to be the kind of person that I know is putting the same energy out in the world. And so when you start to see a mismatch in that, that's when you kind of go, okay, maybe it's just not what I thought it was in the first place. So all really good learnings though, hey?
Oh, absolutely. And building on what you said before about it not being personal, it sure as heck can feel it though, because you know, when we talk about connection, how can you truly connect with someone if you aren't being authentic? And part of being authentic or real or genuine is letting the mask down. So dropping the mask for them and showing vulnerability. And that requires a level of trust. And so when that is not reciprocated or it doesn't quite happen, it definitely feels personal, and it can sometimes feel a bit painful because you've said, this is me in all my glory, I say in inverted commas, and then it doesn't quite happen. And so, yeah, that takes courage too, and showing up as you, and as we've spoken, especially, you know, during our conversation with Mary last, that we released last week, was it takes a level of thick skin and it takes a degree of courage to do that, because there will always be people that aren't your people. And understanding that while it can feel personal, and maybe it is a little bit, also being able to step back from that and go, this is also about the other person's journey. Don't know if that even makes sense, but it was just all the pieces coming together about the courage and being vulnerable and dropping the mask and trusting. And sometimes that doesn't go the way we planned.
Yeah, I think you just gave a great first definition I've heard though of authentic connection, and about those six words that you just said that sum it up to me. Mm. And then, but that's all part of the journey though, right? That's learning to even when you see that happening, to be able to just step away from it and be objective and then just go, sometimes those people aren't my people, and they might be new connections, or they might be connections that you've had for a long time that just, when you're coming to things really real, it just doesn't fit with who they thought you were 2, 3, 5, 10 years ago. So that's a, yeah, that's a really good way to look at that. And you know that work situation that you talked about?
Yeah.
Have you got any examples of how you've seen that playing out so positively now in the here and now, like the whole of Kim at work?
Yeah, so I actually had a conversation, a recent conversation, and someone at work asked, you know, I walked into work and they said, so unicorns and hand grenades. And I was like, yeah, because I didn't, I mean, I haven't told anybody about that, but it was really positively received, and I explained the intent behind it and sort of how it came about. And, you know, when I talk about it, my energy is high. I'm really excited when I talk about what we do here and the difference that we're trying to make. And I was like, that's right. That's all of me. And understanding that that's, this is a big part of me now. So is, you know, the paid work that I do and the parenting and the relationships and coaching and all of that, it's all a big me. And what I've dropped since, I guess, taking time out to have the kids, having my heart cracked open with becoming a mum, because that is truly what happened for me, and with all the loss that I've had in my life, is going, I'm me and I'm wonderful and I'm not for everybody, but why would I hide parts of myself? Because I don't think they fit into work or this or that. If people want to know about what makes me tick, then I'm willing to tell them. And it was really interesting, you know, to talk about that in a work context and go, yeah, because I'm doing great work out in the world as well. And it was quite a cool conversation. So, yeah, that's definitely changed for me, because I think before, a lot of personal was personal. I'd be like, oh, yeah, I've got a dog, I got a husband, like I live on a farm, and you know, I'm one day I'll have a family, you know, before kids. And now I'm like, you want to know me? How long are you got? Let's sit down and have a conversation. Because I like to go deep, and I like to, you know, really, truly, honestly connect with people, because I've got nothing to hide. If I can have a conversation that sparks a bit of interest or get someone to listen to an episode and share it with someone else, great, let's go for it. So yeah, it's playing out differently for sure. And then another experience that I had, it would have been last summer before COVID and everything happened, was I was at a party locally with some friends, and I'd been writing. So I'd been doing heaps of blogging then, and quite a few people who I knew that were at the party and I was friends with, you know, like acquaintances, came up to me, and we had these really intense conversations about, wow, you know, you're writing, it's incredible, I'm going to be going through this one day, it's just, I know that it's, you know, made a huge difference to me and other people who have read it. And being able to have these real deep conversations with people who I'd known for some time, but on another level. And I only got that because I showed my vulnerability and I was real. And I was like, wow, we had such a deep connection over a conversation that would never have happened if I hadn't taken off this perfectly polished mask.
It sounds like there's layers to authenticity as well, hey, based on our journey, what we were talking about before. I loved how you said it's all a big me. It's life, hey, it's all a big me. Yep. And if you're separating pockets of it out, I think that's when you can't get down to that depth of realness.
And maybe why are we doing that? Is it because those parts of those things we don't value or haven't accepted yet or don't love? And so I think part of accepting all of you is because there's been some work around accepting all of you, loving it and appreciating what you're about. Because if there's parts that you're ashamed of or feel like they don't fit with this image of who you should be in society or in your town or in your relationship, then you never be able to really step up and show up authentically without that full acceptance of self.
Yeah, I think that's really powerful, and it's a really, really good insight. There's another side to authenticity or realness as well. So it's interesting. Some people, when you say the word authentic, it can really get them wound up. Mm-hmm. And it's because in their mind, their definition of it is that being authentic means you can just pretty much say whatever you want and people just have to take it because you're just being real and you're just being authentic. So
But authenticity is not being an asshole. Like, that's not what it's all about. And that's the thing. It's about the intention behind it, isn't it? If you are being honest and authentic and stuff because that's who you are and it's to make people feel like crap or to bring someone down to earth or whatever it might be, that's not authenticity. That's being an asshole.
It is being a dick, but maybe being a dick's their authentic self. I don't know.
That's right. And who are we to deny them that?
But it's an interesting concept, because when I do talk to people about it, some of them get really wound up with that word. And so much so, I think it's become so much of a buzzword, which is like why I just kind of like where we got to with realness.
Yeah.
That people don't even like using it. You know, I know in some conversations we've had, you know, people talk about, I prefer not to use that word. I like to use the word my truth, yeah. Which is interesting, right? Because we're just here trying to have a conversation for us that pairs it right back, hoping that we might uncover and spark some thinking that might help someone else pair it back for themselves, because what we're thinking might not be what everyone else thinks.
Definitely, that's right. And certain language triggers different people, and all power to whatever works for you. But I guess, you know, it comes down to really showing up in this world in a way that feels comfortable and aligned for you, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And back to that point that you made about it's all a big me, when you were talking about turning up in the world, in the different workplaces as a mum, etc. Maybe it's a question that's powerful for our listeners to ask themselves, is what would their life look like if it was all a big me to them? So what are the parts of your life that you're separating out? Yeah. What are the opportunities for you to bring all of you a little more cohesively across those areas of life, in the home and the community and in the personal life and in the professional life, right? You can't, if you're separating all those buckets out, there's no interwoven connection. It's really hard to be your real self all of the time. And there's so much power in being your real self.
And then there's a level of discomfort when there are those separate buckets, because I know definitely for me, for a time, trying to be who I thought I should be at work, and it was quite different to who I am personally, it leads to a level of discomfort around, you know, not feeling totally fulfilled. And so I had some wonderful experiences in my job. And then I had some where I was like, what can I do that's a little bit more aligned with me? And that's taken me on all of this journey. And I guess that started even before the hand grenades started going off left, right, and center. And it comes back to, we've talked about before, when the discomfort of doing nothing becomes greater than the discomfort of doing something, stepping one step towards something that feels a little bit more natural for you. Because one of the things that I've also really observed and noticed, especially in the last 12 months, is as I've settled into who I am and got clear on what I want to, how I want to show up in this world, so many things have fallen into place for me. As in, you know, if we're getting a little bit deep here, is, you know, we talk about working in conjunction with the universe and just letting things happen. When you actually start to sit comfortably in your own being, the synchronicity and the stuff that starts happening and the people that come in front of your path and the opportunities that come to you effortlessly, it just blows my mind. And I didn't really do a whole lot except just show up as me, and then stuff starts happening, and then I know I'm where I need to be. That was very fair. But
I actually think it's the law of the universe.
Yeah, it is.
It's worth. And you know, same for me. It's really interesting when you come to the place of knowing yourself, you know the work you want to do, you step back and just do a little bit of work, the synchronicities fall. And that's how, you know, the synchronicity, connecting back with jump shift, the timing, all of that, it's just, it couldn't have been written any other better way than it happened. And there's been multiple things like that that have happened over this last year. Even in, you know, there's been days, these conversations we have and pulling together the podcast, we're doing it because we want to make a difference, but it's a truckload of work. And every time I seem to push up against the fact that, oh man, this is a lot of work, but it feels so aligned, and other stuff's coming at me, but I want to keep this and it feels right. Someone will flick me a message. I'll just get a random message from someone that I don't really know, well, we both will, saying, man, thank you, this made such a difference. So it's kind of like the universe, if you look, keeps sending you the opportunities or the signals that you're on the right path.
That's right, because we can get caught up in the day-to-day and then we can lose sight for a little while. And I just, for all of our listeners, I just want to do the hugest shout out to Jax, because she's absolutely the brains behind our operation and keeps it all together. I'm so grateful that I get to be part of this team with you, but I acknowledge that there is absolutely so much work that goes on behind the scenes and we love it. But yes, it can sometimes be, especially when things ramp up with work and that, it can be challenging to fit it all in, but we love doing this. And so it just comes back to our passion. Like, you know, this is the passion for us. This is the thing that makes us feel alive. This is the thing that, yeah, makes us feel aligned. So it's really, it all comes down to that. And that's authenticity at its best.
Yeah, the feeling of aliveness. Thank you. You do lots of work too. I'm not the...
I just wanted to publicly acknowledge how fabulous you are.
I will practice saying thank you, which has never been a great skill. Thank you. My life's set up to do it better. I don't have two kids to run around with, just a mad Labrador.
I'm going to get them on to guest one day and I'm going to ask them the most hilarious questions.
We should do that, like the Cosby show.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. That would be great. And this was always going to be a little bit of a shorter episode for us, keeping it tight. Is there anything that you want to mention that we haven't to this point, or that you want to get people thinking about? Because we talked a lot in our WTF, wish here comes the world again, that we want actually in season two to get people starting to think a little differently where we can, and spark thinking around realness, authenticity.
Yeah, because I think there's always a starting point, isn't there? We mm-hmm. don't all wake up and go, I know exactly who I want my authentic self to be. But my thoughts on where to begin is to really sit back and consider, first of all, what's important to you in life, in relationships, and in your work. So what's most important to you? And then also, what recently has made you really feel feelings of happiness, and conversely unhappiness, because that's going to give you an idea. And then having a think, I guess, about when you talk about unhappiness or think about discomfort, what's not feeling right for you right now, and is there one small step that you can take in a different direction? Because this isn't always about upheaval. Sometimes this is about a nudge, whether it's, I really love learning and I haven't read a book in a year, I'm going to get a book out from the library and I'm going to read a book. Or, you know, I really love connection and I feel like I've lost touch with some of my friends because I've been busy in the day-to-day grind. So you make an effort to connect with one person. It's literally figuring out or re-realizing the things that make you feel happy, fulfilled, in line with your values, and taking small actions towards them. That's where I think we start to align with our needs, desires, and our authentic or real us.
Yeah, there's some great tips to get people started, because the discomfort is always a really good, it's like a warning light on your engine. But I was going to share, just before we finish, one little story around my before shattering, because we talked earlier about how actually authenticity, we all have it. It's just at differing levels, and our definition of it is different based on where we're at our journey. So for me, back in the day, before all of the work that I've done and before I got my heart cracked open, I was operating from what I thought was a place of authenticity. And the foundation for that for me was kindness, looking after people. I had a team that I was leading. And when you work in big corporations and when you're in senior leadership roles, you get feedback a lot. You get a lot of manager effectiveness surveys. You get a lot of 360 feedback. And in one particular piece of feedback I got, I was really surprised because it wasn't as strong as I was hoping it would be. And so it was really interesting, A, how it kind of hits your ego, and then how you adjust from the ego to going, what's important to me about getting hit with this piece of feedback? And the important thing for me when I drilled down to it was that I wasn't giving my team what they needed. And I wanted to be a good leader for them. I didn't want my ego to just get a really good manager effectiveness score. So I just connected in with all of them and was just really open, and for the first time was probably more vulnerable than I'd been, and said, look, kind of this blindsided me a little bit with school because I thought I was doing okay. And if you're comfortable with it, I'd really love for you to just hit me with what it looks like to you. Like, what can I do better for you? Not so I can improve my score, but just so I can be a better leader. And so the theme that came through from the conversations, man, it was eye-opening. I, at the time when this feedback had come through, was dealing with mum's, was in the middle of cancer. David's cancer had been diagnosed. I was turning up at work. People knew what was going on, but I had such a strong mask. Well, I thought I did, but clearly they could see that, you know, under the surface, I was barely holding it together. But in my mind, leadership meant being the one to turn up, holding it together. You can't show cracks, because then what's going to happen? And what transpired in all of the conversations pretty much was that they wanted to help. They knew stuff was going on, and they just wanted, I'm sure they didn't want to see me break down, but when I was having one of the conversations with someone, I just burst into tears, which I had never done. And they said to me, that's what we wanted to see, not the tears. We just wanted to see you.
And that comes down to perhaps feeling like you didn't trust them enough to take the masks down.
Exactly.
Relationship too, wasn't it? And yeah. By being vulnerable, one, making it okay for them to do the same, but actually saying, this is all of me. And they, and I'm sure your relationship probably got a heck of a lot stronger after that.
Yeah, well, it was one of the biggest learnings I had, because it was exactly that. Here was me, and you know, we all see things through our own lens. We're all plugged into our own little matrix and our own little world and our own little thinking. And no one's is ever going to be the same as ours. And here was I thinking, leaders hold their shit together. They take the load. And we were particularly busy at that time. They do things to protect their team. And here was my team going, she's got all of this stuff going on, but she's not opening up and she's not sharing it. Therefore, they were sitting there feeling untrusted. And man, it just... such an insight, you know, same situation, two separate worlds.
Yeah. And that's such a valuable story to share, because I think we can all think of examples in our life where we have either a situation like that or one in which we've held back. And who knows what the potential for our relationships and our connections could be if we were actually genuine and honest all of the time. And I was thinking back to what I said about think about what makes you happy, or think about, I guess, what you want out of life. And there's two things about that I want to say. The first one is, so if you think about success or happiness in your life, there's kind of this idea that perhaps you've learned from your upbringing, or you have, you know, these societal expectations on what success looks like. And then there's your actual own. And so for me, a huge rediscovery after I lost my parents and sort of didn't know where I fit into this world was, and I say this a lot, is like, all I want is to have lots of love in my life and to have fun. Like, for me, that's my definition of success now, versus this house, the career, all of that stuff. Now, there's all parts make up to having fun and having connection and love in my life, and there's still the opportunity for paid work and this and that and the other. But for me, really, my success defined by me is having love in my life through friendships and connection and being happy. I was like, well, that's all it is for me. If I can do stuff that aligns me with that, then I know that I'm living my best life. Because none of the other stuff matters. And for some people, it'll be completely different. And that's okay, because I also think we can be quite humble, us Kiwis. And so we don't want to be tall poppies. We don't want to stick our head up and say, I want to be ultra successful and have millions of dollars. If that's what you want, that's amazing. Don't be embarrassed about it. You have to get really real about what it is that you want from this life, and then be prepared to go after it despite what other people say, and that's being real.
Nailed it. What a great way to bring it.
Kim on her soapbox. Go on.
Kim on her soapbox with her really cool sunglasses on.
Thank you.
I reckon that's a really nice way to bring this conversation home. If you're listening, well, clearly you are if you can hear us. Really good starting points you can take away. Maybe it's if you are really sitting in your realness and your truth, I don't know, maybe it's just helped to get a little less judgy of others around you that you might judge aren't, which is an interesting concept itself. And
I would love to get some feedback from you guys, maybe about some of the realizations that you've had while listening, because this is as much about you as it is about us sharing our insights, and would love to hear about some of those light bulb moments or those acceptance of what it is we actually want to step into.
Yeah, it's really nice when those messages come through. And it also helps us craft other episodes around topics that people like too. So appreciate your engagement. You know where to find us. You can find us on Instagram at unicornsandhandgrenades.life, same on Facebook, or www.unicornsandhandgrenades.com. Thanks to all of you that are in the conversation with us. Thank you for listening. We know your time's precious, and we cannot wait to chat to you in the next episode of Unicorns and Hand Grenades. Go forth, be real, enjoy your week.